Hey guys, welcome to Gin Talks episode 7. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Katie.
And good morning. We
this
are
is different for us.
Yeah, we usually do this in the afternoon or evening, but we are doing an early morning podcast. And Katie is such a morning person, and I'm not a morning person.
So. This is my jam. This is my time. I've had lots of coffee crack.
She brought me coffee, so she's helping me be a morning person today. So I appreciate that. So today we are talking about, well, the title of the podcast is Why Baptism. So, we are talking about why we got baptized, why you should, why people do, just everything about baptism. And
the reason we're doing this now is because Caitlin was baptized last Sunday.
Yes.
So I have not heard anything about it. So this is completely, unscripted. Well, not like any of them who've been scripted, but I have not heard anything. So I saved this conversation for this morning.
Yes.
To share with y'all. So why baptism?
Yeah.
Caitlin?
So, okay. This past Sunday, which was, I guess, 2 days ago, I was baptized for the third time, actually. And it was kind of hard to describe that to some people because, and I felt the need the whole day. Like, when people saw, like, oh, wow, I would be like, oh, I've done it before, but I'm just doing it. Like, as soon as they would see me, I was like, oh, I've done it before, because I didn't want them to think, oh, she has never been baptized, you know? So I dealt with a lot of, like, are people going to judge me? Like, I'm doing this again.
I know that feeling because yeah. I thought about doing a, well, I mean, and I had, we'll talk about me in a minute, but, and there was a thought that went through my head is that, what if everyone that has had spiritual conversations or talks about Jesus or prior to this thinking, well, what was that?
Yeah.
Depending on their consent, you know, their preconceived ideas.
That's exactly
about
what I
baptism.
Thought.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to discredit you. And I really, in those moments, I feel like he's saying, you will not stop the gospel.
Yes.
I promise you.
Yeah. Well, I had the same thing, you know, like, well, what, that was exactly it. Mm-hmm. You put it into, like, I've had all these talks with people. People have asked me to pray for them and ask me for advice,
right.
And they're like, you were a phony.
What was that?
You know, like, what? You're fake. But, like, quite the opposite. Everyone brushed. It's like people would look at me like, you didn't have to tell me that. Like, I'm whatever. Like, good for you, you know?
Right.
But it was even different to kind of tell my, when I told my mom, which, I mean, she's supportive of everything I've ever done, and I've done pretty crazy stuff, so she just always supports me. But she said, well, why, you've done this twice already, so why are you doing it again? And I was like, trying to text her, and I was like, it's a long story, but maybe she'll listen to this and she can hear this. But when I was 15, so I was raised Church of Christ, and I think I've told all our listeners that before, but it was very much, in the Church of Christ, they believe you have to be baptized. Like, that is part of salvation. And there are, like, bits and pieces of that that I've kind of taken with me that I believe, why wouldn't you be baptized? I don't think that if someone truly surrenders their life and they don't get baptized, I don't think they're going to go to hell. I'm not God. I don't know how he's, you know.
I
but
agree
he's
with you.
He's
I think
a fair
it's a
and
heart,
just God.
Right, it's a heart condition that only a person and God really know. It doesn't
right.
matter. In fact, until the day we die, because we can profess it all day with our mouth.
Yeah.
But God and the person
mm-hmm.
are the only ones that really, really,
really
know.
That's, yeah. End of story. Yeah. But I think for me personally, and really most anyone I talk to as a believer, you want to be baptized because it is a public declaration of what's on the inside. And so when I was 15, I don't think that didn't count. You know, I don't think,
I agree with you. I don't, it doesn't not count.
It doesn't not count,
no.
And I remember laying, this is like a funny little part of the story, but it's kind of embarrassing too. But me and my best friend I grew up with, we've known each other our entire lives, but we always used to make pallets on the floor and watch movies. I mean, we were like
my
16, 17.
And I did
that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she and I would still do that.
If we she call came it over,
yeah.
Time.
Yes, it's fun. But I remember us laying on a pallet watching a movie. I was 15. And I was like, I think I'm going to get baptized tomorrow. And I kind of, that was like me kind of being like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I told my parents, well, I didn't know my little brother, he was 13, had also wanted to. And I think now looking back, he had wanted to, but he didn't, he was scared. And when Big Sister did it, he was like, okay, I can do it too. So we went up together and we, you know, they asked us, do you believe? And all those questions. And then we were baptized and it was definitely special, but time passed and I feel like I didn't really understand a relationship with God. I definitely believed in God, but I was still trying to kind of check boxes and, oh, did I do this good? Did I do that good? And I knew I had messed up. And so when I was in college, I guess I was a junior. I think I was a junior. Yeah. In college. And I felt very like far from God. Like I felt very lost. It was like I kept trying my whole college career. I felt like I was sprinting like tirelessly after God, but going nowhere. It was like I was running on a treadmill. All of college was a treadmill. And the whole time he was like, I have been right here. If you would have just stepped off the treadmill, like I was here. You didn't have to do that. But I think in an act to make everything okay again and be myself again, I've decided to get baptized again and rededicate my life. I remember sitting in like a college service and it was called The Well and the preacher was preaching and I thought, okay, yeah, God is telling me, like, I've got to do this. I'm not where I'm supposed to be and I need to be there. And so I did it again. It was great. It was wonderful. But that was, I don't know how many years ago. I don't feel like doing the math right now, but it was several years ago.
I think anytime we make a public declaration of our love and affection mm-hmm. for the one who loved us first, that there's a holy hallelujah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, that's always going to please him.
Yeah.
And regardless of what the world thinks or whatever definition we've given it.
Because like you said, it's mm-hmm. between you and God.
You're just telling people you love
yeah,
me.
Like, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think...
You can do that as much as you want. Yeah,
and isn't it weird that we get so, like... I was telling two of my friends, I was like, I'm, like, nervous about it. And it's almost like... I mean, I was sick to my stomach the whole day, and I don't know why. Like, it's a good thing, but it's... I think we start thinking about what people are going to think. But I remember you told me this, and I wrote this in my blog about this. I'm almost positive it was you that said sometimes it is about you and God always, but sometimes it's also for someone else.
Right. We're going, okay. And there was a friend of mine and I remember she was going up to be mm-hmm. baptized one of the Sundays at church. And I was like, oh, awesome. And she goes, I'm not doing it because I feel convicted, you know, that I'm, or, you know, to do it right now. But she goes, I feel like I'm supposed to do it for my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't say that to her daughter, but she, and I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
But it was just very refreshing, too, for her to just honestly say, you know, here I go. I'll
right.
do it 100 times if I feel that desire. Who knows who it's for?
Yep. That's exactly.
The gift of going first.
Yes. That's kind yeah. of.
You did it for your brother.
Yeah. Yeah. In that moment, I did it for my brother. And, you know, and there have been people I've been praying for. And so it could have been for that on Sunday. But, the whole day was a disaster. Like, that's what my blog was about. I mean, it was a disaster from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep.
And the one in college?
No, this on Sunday.
Oh, I haven't the other day. You posted the blog post.
I did. You'll have to go back and read it. But I'm about to tell you about it anyway.
Okay.
So,
I get firsthand. I'm glad I didn't read it before
me,
today.
Yes, me too. Okay. Me too. I think He taught me a lot on Sunday, but I am very much like, I have really high expectations for like moments, not even like I do for people, but moments and days and times like, okay, this is the day I'm getting baptized. It's going to be the best day ever. And I'm going to have the best picture ever. And I'm going to get to frame it and put it in. Everyone's going to rejoice when, I mean, I really had it all played out.
Sometimes you don't even probably know that you have the right. expectations to you're disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like in the back of my mind. Yeah. The back of my mind, Caitlin, was like, guess what's going to happen today? Like all this great stuff. And I was like, great. Okay. It's going to be perfect. And so I woke up late. Duh. I'd had a friend stay with me the night before. Because she came for my wedding shower. So she came from Atlanta.
I'm so sorry.
Stayed with me.
It Saturday.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm sure there will be 100 more.
I love my daughter's basketball game, but I would have much rather been at a wedding shower.
Basketball game, yes. But she woke up and went home, and my fiance called me and he was like, hey, are you awake? And I was like, yes. Like, I don't want to talk right now. I'm trying to get ready and it's the morning and whatever. So my brother and his wife and my grandparents were coming from about an hour away. And my parents couldn't make it because they had obligations at their church that Sunday. I couldn't be there. And so I think that was already like in my head, I was uneasy because my parents weren't there and I really wanted them to be there. And it was like a, oh, okay, something's off, you know, but I was just like, okay, prayed through it, whatever. Well, then got to church and, it's always, I get stressed out when I know everyone is there for me. And so I was like, okay, it's fine. Like, we're just at church, like, whatever. Went to the church service. Well, then, just let me say that my fiancé is the best person I know. Okay. Aww. But on that day, I don't know what was wrong with him. I was like...
It was just onslaught of spiritual attack. I guess attack. So. It I was, no, it was. That. And it happens. He doesn't show up in a red cape. He shows up in the distractions, yep. And the little things that are...
Well, he did.
Yeah.
He so did.
The things and, he knows will bother us the most.
Yeah. And I, that's what he really... I think he really did... I hate to even say this, but I think he used Caleb that day without Caleb knowing it. Because he, I think I'd normally look to him, like, in a situation like, okay, like, save me. Like, you're supposed to help me, like, be my rock. He's, like, my everything in those moments. And he was the one that was stressing me out the most. And I was like, what is wrong with you? I, like, looked at my brother, and my brother, he really knows me. And he just, like, looked at me with, like, a look in his eyes, like, it's fine. And I was
your
like,
little brother or your older brother?
My older brother. And I was looking at him like, what do I do? You know, like, this is awful. And then my grandma and her husband. So I had messed up the time. We should have gone to an earlier service. And Caleb was like, I tried to tell you that. And I was like, looking at him like, you are being and I evil told you right so. Now.
It's not appropriate.
No. So we rushed to go eat Zaxby's. Well, I knew we should have driven separately because my grandmother just takes her time and it's fine. But I was stressed to the max. Like, what, I'm not going to get back in time.
Get the car credit!
I mean, I was literally like, my hands were like sweating and I was like, oh my gosh. And everyone's just kind of chilling and I was like, well, we've got to scarf this chicken down and go.
Eat your chicken!
And it's pouring down rain and I thought I had to go to like the step one part of the service. I didn't. I just had to come back for baptism.
Okay.
I mean, the whole day, I was like, I've messed everything up. So we finally come back and I'm like, I hate Caleb. I'm like, I hate you. I have no idea why we're getting married.
Still I marry you, but I hate you.
So I'm like, this will pass. I know because I love you, but today I hate you. So I like go to, I could not eat. I think I ate one chicken finger. I was sick to my stomach. I texted my best friend, my roommate, and I was like, "There." She's also in the other room listening. So I texted her and I was like, this is the.
She giggled just then in the background because she's hearing this. Intense conversation.
But I texted her and I was like, this is the worst day of my life. Like, what am I supposed to do? And she said, like, exactly what I needed somebody to say. And she was like, that is the enemy. Like, he does not want you to do this. And it's like, as soon as she typed it out in a text, it was like, God was like, hello, I've been trying to tell you that the whole day. Like,
so Satan used was, her. Yeah.
He did. And Satan was for sure attacking me. I mean, I have never experienced that. I've had spiritual warfare. But I mean, when I went in to change clothes, I went to the bathroom, broke down, sobbed.
Because once he realizes he can't steal our soul, he's after stealing everything else. Bit of joy that we possibly could have, and he definitely wants to shut our witness down.
Yeah, and he was doing everything he could, and I was like, I told Caleb this, I felt so alone, and I mean, I had people there with me that loved me. There were church people. I mean, there were. Hundreds of people there, and I've never felt so alone.
Another scheme of any time there's like division, which you felt isolated and alone, which means there was a massive divide between you and all the people that were there for you. That's usually like one. Okay, that's a red flag that the enemy's at work here. Like, there's a divide, so God doesn't do that. God unites.
Yes.
So this is not of God. This is of something else. And I try and like, okay, Lord, help me to refocus.
Yes, and not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go out and I'm in line and I'm just like nervous. And I'm like, gosh, like what is wrong? And I have like severe anxiety. Chest is hurting, like stomach's hurting. And I was talking to a little girl beside me who was about to get baptized and a sweet older woman. She was 8. And then there was an older woman. Yeah.
Like 46.
I knew you were about to say that. No, she was older than you.
She was like this far.
She was like a 46. Okay. No, she was older than you for sure. So that helped me calm my nerves. Like talking always does help me calm my nerves. And I was just kind of praying, like, okay, God, this is me and you right now. Like, I don't care who's taking a picture of me, like, whatever. And in that moment, like, that was God saying, okay, all of that happened and it doesn't matter because I'm giving you peace in this moment.
I told you before, I visualize him. It's not really a vision, so to speak, on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate walking in front of bleachers, so I picture him on my arm. Mm-hmm. Or when I'm running, he's usually running in front of me mm-hmm. backwards and he's not sweating. But, I mean, he gave us an imagination for a reason, so we use it for other things. I'm like, I'm going to imagine him. I know he's here anyway, so however I... You know,
yeah.
God, let me just imagine, like, whatever's going to bring me the most calm,
peace.
Because you're mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
So he was on your arm.
He was. And I, you know, walked in and I was, like, in tears, good tears, like, when a couple of other people were going in front of me. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this.
The 8-year-old gave you the gift of going first.
Yes, yes.
That's so sweet.
And she was, you know, she was so cute. And I think her name was actually Caitlin. Also, and so I talked about how we spelled our names or whatever. And, you know, the preacher asked me if I believed, and I remember saying absolutely. I was like, this time, like, I feel it more than ever. You know, I know a real relationship with God. And so I remember closing my eyes and just being like, oh, like, peace. So went down and came out of the water. Little did I know, when the pictures, shirt came up. Everyone saw my stomach. My untoned, flabby stomach.
See that in the picture that I saw.
Good. I didn't know. And then when I came out, my shirt came up. How? Literally how? I should have tucked it or something. I mean, because you know all the pictures of people like rejoicing.
And they give you paper shorts that are precious. They're not paper, but
they're
thin. I can't imagine you thinking. I'm going to tuck my
shirt
in
because
pants.
It'll come up.
And the things we shouldn't be thinking about, but we're human.
Yeah. So I, you know, go and I like towel off a little bit, but then I walk out and I guess I was like dripping everywhere. So I'm expecting like people to be like, whoa, great. And they were.
Right.
But I, again, was like, Caleb's going to be like, I'm so proud of you. Never said that. And I was like, okay, we're going to have a fight today for sure. So my, you know, everyone's hugging me and I'm getting pictures and I still feel like, okay, I feel very nervous. I'm like, what is going on today? And then Caleb was like, someone like almost slipped cause you dripped everywhere. And I was like, I'm going to murder you. My immediate sin after baptism is that I'm going to murder
you. Dripped. They almost slipped. It's your fault.
I was like, I said, okay, he's picking stuff off my shirt. I don't know what was wrong with him. Anyway, we had a long talk later, and he was like, I'm really sorry. I don't know what was wrong with me.
He was just, the enemy just used him to pick at you.
It was
not him, right.
But it really showed me, after all was said and done, and, you know, don't worry, I got to my car, I had a booger on my nose. I was like, what is this day? Like, are you serious? But the only moment in that day that I was okay was that moment with God.
Aww.
And I think God was telling me, guess
what? None of this matters.
No one cares. Life isn't perfect. It's never going to be. Caleb's not perfect. Stop trying. Stop making him God because he's not ever going to save you. I'm saving you.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's like, I'm going to let him be at his worst today.
Yep.
And just to show you, like, and honestly, because I put my husband in a savior position for so long,
mm-hmm.
and he actually carried it beautifully,
mm-hmm.
that Caleb will never go into it. With that yoke on him, he was never meant to carry.
Right. It's not
because
fair.
Because when Jay and I got to the place where I was like, okay, you were never meant to be my father because my father died young. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was like, and then when I moved back and he was like, oh my gosh, you don't need me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, after 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, you just were never meant to carry the load. Like, you weren't the one to put me back together every time I
right.
fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
Although you did it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
But you're my husband.
Yeah.
You're not my father or my savior.
Yeah.
And now I'm in the proper relationship with you. And so Caleb's going to know that now.
Yeah.
And you're going to know that now because he probably would fall in like our men.
He has. He has always done it very well.
They carry is beautiful.
Yeah, and it's that was totally my fault for putting that on him. He never asked for that. He just took it, you know? Right. So now I'm like, okay, you're not the end all be all to my joy. I mean, if you're having a bad day, that doesn't mean my day falls apart. It means, all right, we're going to pray through this and God is going to fix it. And I'd never imagined God teaching me 110 things in like the span of really a moment, but that whole day. And I'd like told people in my blog, like, I mean, I immediately got to my car and was like crying and still having a bad day. You know, I mean, it didn't, being baptized didn't fix my life. I mean, it's not going to fix your life. It's just, it's that moment and that public declaration of knowing, okay, this is going to be a process. I mean, this is always been a journey. And you're
completely transparent going, this is who I'm choosing to follow.
Yes.
And it's the love of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if I come up and I show my stomach and I have a sugar in my nose. That's really funny.
Because
our family, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but before we walk into church, I have a history going, are the clouds in the sky and looking up. And I can remember at one point, I think it was Jay, going, we are the weirdest family. And I was like, well, I would rather do this before we walk in than somebody there then go leave church and it's been there the whole time.
Yep.
And I know it doesn't matter, but just let me be at peace. Still,
yes, yes. No, and see, usually like my mom is like, hey, you got something in your teeth, on your nose, whatever. Caleb was like, I don't think I ever noticed. And I was like, well, good. Like,
for future reference, notice and always tell me you're always proud of me.
He did apologize because one of his students, he's a teacher, a sweet little girl came up and she just got baptized. I didn't know. And he hugged her and he was like, I am so proud of you. Very, very sweet to her. Tells me her whole story. I wanted to be happy for the little girl. I was happy for the little girl. But I looked at him thinking,
Are you
joking? I left. I mean, I had just been baptized. I'm like, this is great. I got in a fight with him when I got home.
That was a massive learning lesson for us. It was. That how often do we show the world the best of us and celebrate them and the ones closest to us that we know aren't going anywhere, that we often, or I often overlook.
I do too. I started a blog about that. Yeah. It's in draft because I have always had a really big problem really loving people that I love the most out loud.
I take them for granted because I'm like, you're always going to be here.
Yeah. And the people who, you know.
And I don't want to do that.
No, I want them to know. And
there was a quote, and of course, I don't know who said it, but the people that in our house that we love the most should be the ones that respect us the most.
Yep.
And have the most joy when they're around us. And is that the case? Like, am I famous in my house?
Yep. Am I giving everyone else my best?
Right. And they get my leftovers.
And I asked him, I said, why? I was like, I don't care. I'm happy for that little girl. So this has nothing to do with her. That's wonderful. I said, why did you do that? I said, did you respond the same way to her or to me as you did to her? And he was like, no. I said, why? And he said, he was like, you know what? I think it was an ego thing. He was like, you'd been mean to me that day. And I was like, okay. And he was like, I think I just was kind of like mad at you. He was like, but I shouldn't have let that override like your moment when I should have been celebrating you. We had a great talk about it and learned a lot.
That's a good learning lesson. Yeah. I'm thinking of myself, like, how often do I withhold kindness if I'm offended or hurt?
Yep. I do it all the time.
But if I can consciously be aware of that, it's the hug therapy thing. It's the child that I want to hug the least, I need to hug the most.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I think I do that to him a lot and it kind of hit me in the face like, he never does this to you and he did it, so now you know. you know, but it all came, like, we got. And later,
this is good couples therapy.
It was good. It was really good. Mm-hmm. And later that night, he felt, like, very bad. And he came over and he was like, hey, I'll put your sheets on your bed and make your bed. Like, it did all this stuff for me to try to make him up for it. And I was like, Caleb, it's really fine. But you could tell he just felt terrible. But anyway, I want to hear about yours, and I have talked the entire time.
But that was the point, is I wanted to hear about Sunday.
And it was, you know, I don't care if you, I think God also told me.
You know, I would have been there, by the way. I had that expo. I know. I had to, go set up.
No, it's okay. I knew that. But I think he was telling me, hey, Caitlin, you don't have to keep getting baptized. Like, you're good. Like, there's not another box to check. Because I think somewhere in the back of my mind, it's always been like, oh, should I do it again and make sure, you know? But this time was more of like, you don't have to do this, but I'm glad you're doing it. And you don't have to be perfect. Like, this is a journey with me.
I feel like Pastor Chris has referenced this before, is that so many people spend their whole life every Sunday coming in feeling like they have to pay for their sins again. Mm-hmm. And that if given the opportunity, they would probably be baptized every Sunday and go through this repentance. And not that we aren't, yeah. We do repent all the time.
Right.
But when we get grace and grace has us, mm-hmm. and we really understand it was done by one person once and for all, mm-hmm. that we realize there is not anything we add to that.
Yeah. We can't.
It's the expression, because we're saved, that we do it. It does not save us.
Right.
And I just remember talking with somebody, because I was like, you know, tell me, why did you believe for so long that you had, like you said, that your roots were there? And mm-hmm. And then my response after she told me why she believed that, because I was like, well, how do they reconcile the thief on the cross who... He said, you'll be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
And I feel like, honestly, and then she actually said there was a scripture that they used and pulled out, or mm-hmm. they said that when Jesus walked on the earth, that those times were different. This was the explanation, because she was giving me what the religious explanation behind that was and why she believed that for so long. And I was like, okay, I didn't understand. But she's like, anything while he was here, anything went. But once he was gone and all the apostles died, that those things stopped is what she was led to believe growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just helped for me to understand where she was coming from. She does not believe that way anymore, but still believes, is in a group of people that does. So she's like, I have these yokes of bondage on me mm-hmm. that I can't get off. And I know I'm not supposed to, that he's done it. I just have to believe it and walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard when we start to put different things on ourselves.
Yeah.
Did you grow up believing that it was work-based, that you had to do enough good stuff to earn it? I don't feel like that's ever been that where I felt like I had to earn his love. I just felt like I disappointed him all the time.
I did feel like I had to. Yeah, I felt like I disappointed. I felt like I had to do everything right. And when I messed up, which of course I did, I was just like guilt. Guilt and shame, which aren't from the Lord.
No.
And I never knew that. I mean, the first time I've heard that was really in the past year or so. I mean,
that was huge. That shame was not, shame and guilt were different. That shame was an attack on who I am.
Yes.
And guilt was, I'm guilty of the act.
Yes.
So I'm sorry and I make it right as much as I can. And then I turn and walk with the Lord. And one of them leads to movement.
Guilt.
And freedom. Yes. And one of them leads to paralysis. And
shame is not.
There is no movement. You just want to hide or go backwards.
Yep. Yeah. And I definitely know now, like, what I probably grew up knowing. It was never bad, and I hate to even say it. It was always, I mean, I grew up in a family that went to church every Sunday, but I wasn't, excited about it. I wasn't excited to be there, and I wasn't in, like, a free relationship with God where I could come to Him and say, okay, I messed up, you already know that, but let's, like, get through this and help me out. I was hiding from him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh no, I can't believe I did that. I can't tell anyone I did that. I can't tell him. I can't tell my parents. I can't tell a soul what I just did. And instead of being like, okay, I messed up and we're going to walk in freedom through this, because you've already taken that off of me.
I think I spent every Sunday from all my years of bondage thinking this will be the Sunday that it's the magic moment.
Me too.
And that Monday will be different for real.
Yeah, for real.
And that, you know, and I remember always wondering, like, the people are like, oh, that's hypocrites. They did this on Saturday and come on Sunday, in that pit in my stomach going, but the real, you know, I was like, no, I'm coming on Sunday because I'm wanting to be different.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wanting Sunday girl to become Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and eventually all girl.
Yes.
It's not because I'm trying to act like I'm perfect on Sunday.
Yeah.
In fact, I would just kind of hide and cry and crawl out. I would never serve in church because I did feel unworthy to serve.
Yeah.
I wasn't not serving because I was lazy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get it right before I did that. And I realized now all of that was just a messed up way of thinking.
Right. Because you can't ever get it right.
He's like, I love you already.
Yeah.
And just walk in the grace that you have and the faith that you have and the measure of faith, and it grows.
It grows.
It grows.
Because that's
you serve out of your love for me, and it just looks like being you and loving others well.
And probably no one is looking at you like you think they are. And gosh, if they are, then that's a heart problem for them. I mean,
I was so sick of looking at myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I know. Awful. I felt the same way.
To go into lightning round. We're going to wrap it up. Okay. My baptism, I think I've actually said it on here before, was, at 16 in an FCA camp.
Yes.
I don't remember it well, but I do remember there was a renewal. Didn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
I got back home and was not strong enough to... I know I was saved. And
yeah.
I know that it was celebrated in heaven. And, mm-hmm. I celebrate that I did it and I don't regret it and it meant something. Mm-hmm. But we'll lead into our questions, because one of them was, our spiritual question was, what was baptism, the way it was expressed or what you remember of it growing up, mm-hmm. in your church faith, or, and what I grew up in a denomination that we sprinkled. I don't remember
yes.
them doing mm-hmm. immersions at my church. In FCA camp, they did. But I just remember the christening as a baby, and there was
yes.
never another discussion, although I could have totally missed it, of a different or a later baptism that was an outward expression of an inward change.
Mm-hmm. And mine was, I've kind of already said this, I guess, but it was like a crucial part of salvation. You said you believed and confessed your sins and confessed your belief in God, and you were baptized in one big thing.
Okay.
And it was, you know.
There was no sprinkling in your church. Okay.
No, there was immersion, and you were baptized.
Okay.
To get to heaven. I mean, not to get to heaven, but,
right,
it, was,
but it was part of your.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so. That was the spiritual question.
Cultural
question. You go.
I can't help with this. What did you used to eat for breakfast before school when you were little? And the reason I thought of this, because when I was little in the 90s, dinosaur egg oatmeal was such a big hit, and I loved eating that for breakfast. That was like a treat every morning. Okay, you.
Okay, we actually, I didn't eat breakfast much, but as a little person, we had this griddle that my mom would plug in, and we would have some mean pancakes on a Saturday morning with
mm-hmm.
peanut butter and syrup.
Oh.
Chub-o-matic. But it was so good with bacon. Okay. And then, what was the next one? Relational?
Yes.
Like family?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you have any chores when you were little
oh, yes.
in your house?
we just talked about this the other day. My mom was way too lenient on us and did a lot herself, but every now and then we would have like, okay, like, can you please like put the dishes away or fold the, I hated folding laundry, but my dad would be like, you really need to help your mom fold the laundry. But really the only chore I ever had was, to clean my room. I remember like three times ever her leaving a list of chores. So I was,
bless you.
Ooh, excuse me. I was kind of like spoiled in that sense of she didn't make me do a whole lot, but yeah.
I had no chores.
No chores. Same.
But
yeah.
It's funny. I had no chores, but I still picked up and
mm-hmm.
made my bed. And maybe because nobody asked me to. Also, my brothers were 8, 9, and 10 years older. So when they left, I remember the house being so quiet. I hated it.
Yeah.
And the house was always clean. I didn't have a lot of mess to clean up. But like, I remember getting up at 3 and I'd make coffee for my parents. I was really independent. I remember my
yeah.
mom going, I just didn't really expect to raise a daughter that was so independent. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, do you want me to be deep? Like, she would try and type my papers. It was really nice. But I was like,
yeah.
I got it. I'm good. So, no, I didn't have any mandatory chores. I have tried to implement the chore system in my home. It
doesn't work
so much. They will literally walk past trash bags I've sat out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
I'll step over it. Or, like, there's the trash can, and they'll just pull on up the driveway.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Maybe one day it just kind of kicks in.
And like, you just start to notice.
If there's something that needs
yeah.
to be done, don't wait for someone to ask.
Just
do it.
Yep.
Just do it. You know? I say, there's the end. Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I feel like I talked a lot on this podcast, so.
Well, I hope that it encourages you to
yes.
look back on what it means to you, you know, like, and just think about, like, your experiences. And if you haven't had one, think about why and talk to somebody and think, like, what would your next step be?
Yeah.
And why would you take this step and what it's meant to them? And hopefully it will open a conversation up with somebody in another generation.
Yes.
And y'all can
that's the cool part
share
about
those
this.
Stories. So.
Yeah, and leave your questions, your comments. Leave us a review. Subscribe to our blog.
Yes.
So you can hear more of all of our fun conversations.
I posted on my blog at psalm8110.com.
Yes.
Psalm8110.com. And Caitlin, were you able to put it on your blog?
I haven't yet, but I'm going to. And mine is caitlinbrookchapel.wordpress.com.
And both of those will be in the show notes.
Yes.
The links to those.
So that you can go
those blogs.
Read some more. Once you're done listening to our voices, you can read our voices.
So we hope you have the best day ever.
Yes. Love you guys. Thanks so much.
Peace out.
Bye.